Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Sonia.
It feels so good to say that. I have missed you so much.
Oh, thank
Welcome to the Coach's Cup and welcome back to my
you.
favorite partner,
Oh,
Judith Fender, after being away for several weeks.
I have been away. Thank you. It's nice to be back, and feels good to be back.
It does. It feels good to have you here. I do want to say thank you to all the wonderful guest coaches who sat in while you were out. And I had a great time. I got to know a lot of people. That will kind of bleed into our conversation coming up because I have never thought of myself as someone who's very good at meeting new people. So we'll talk about that, but I do want to thank all of them for filling in because it was a fun experience, but I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you. And I personally want to thank everyone who stepped up and took one for the team and got to experience time with Sonia and make it possible for this podcast to continue on. So thanks to everyone who did. And to you, Sonia, thank you for holding my spot. And y'all will you I will share where I have been. It will come up in this podcast. So we'll
Today's topic is perfect, I think, for us, but for you all as well, because today's podcast is Thoughts That Don't Serve Us. And we had actually planned this topic weeks ago, I guess at this point, months ago, a couple
months
months
ago.
ago. And it was a good topic now or then, and it's still a good topic now. So that tells me it's a good topic for people in general. And so I want to give just a little backstory about how the topic came up and let you know about the thoughts that don't serve me. I was journaling one day, and I have always called myself an introvert. I've always said that I'm an introverted person. I don't like to meet new people. You know, it's kind of a joke with me and you. It's a joke with one of my best friends because I tell her she could talk to a fence post. You know, we get on a plane together and she's talking to the person next to us, and I'm like, here's my book. Please don't look at me. But I was journaling and I thought, you know, I've had some evidence to the contrary lately. I had a student on the first day of class when we were all doing our introductions, and he said, Dr. Green, is your husband the introvert in your family? Because he assumed that I was the extrovert. And I was like, no, we both are. And I think that's the catalyst for the journaling, because I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, my entire life I've called myself an introvert, but how does that serve me? And I couldn't come up with any ways that it served me. It was a good shield if I wanted to protect myself or I wanted to underperform, maybe. You know, I'm not going to step out there because I'm an introvert. Or I'm not gonna go after this position because I'm an introvert. I could list 100 ways that that does not serve me.
Kept you small and safe.
Yes, exactly.
And that this is, can I say the part about
Absolutely.
the Sonia had to remind me this morning of the topic how and that I brilliantly said I'm leaning into this owning my fabulousness.
That's right.
That we had read a book, Personality Isn't Permanent. I think it's Andrew Hardy is
I
the
did
author.
not look that up before we started. I should have.
But I for sure it's Hardy is his last name. And I questioned Sonia about, well, you know, personality isn't permanent. You know, if you see yourself as this label, then you have the ability to perceive it any way you want on at any time.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we how often do we do this on a daily basis? Mm-hmm. We have these tendencies in our personality that lead us to believe that, that's just the way it is. I am an introvert. I mean, we have tests to prove it, right? You can do a Myers-Briggs. The Enneagram is a big thing now. My students are all into that. And then, no, that's not necessarily the same as the Myers-Briggs, but we do. We love a good personality test because it tells us about who we are.
It's predictive thinking, right? These personality tests. Like, I think if you think about the Enneagram, like, again, it's about tendencies. And so what we know about thought work is you have a tendency to think this way, then the Enneagram can narrow you down to how that thought process will score you in a certain area.
Yeah.
Where am I going with this thought? I'm not sure.
Well, and, you know, the fact of the matter is that thought work can lean, you know, we can move out of those tendencies.
Yes. We get to choose every day. And even as advanced as we are in thought work, I'm going to say advanced because we've been at this a good while, Sonia.
Yeah.
Learning and knowing what we know, it still amazes me in my day-to-day life how thoughts will show up and how I believe them and how I know what I know, that I can perceive things differently and get a different result. It blows my mind how much directive the brain needs and how much practice it still requires. But I'm always so thankful for, you know, just knowing what I know.
Yeah.
Ask myself a better question.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think of this, how we have tendencies, but it's not a set thought, this is where my mind goes. So there are many times when I just kind of drive somewhere on autopilot, right? And so my path that I have taken to the university was the same for years. And then they did some road work in Nashville. And there's a shorter, better path to school that I could take. And so I had been taking that, but one day I was deep in thought, I wasn't thinking about it. And I found myself taking the old path.
How about that?
Even though that's not the best way to get there anymore. And so our brains are exactly the same. You know, it's the same thing. We have this easy, memorized, familiar thought in our heads, you know, I'm an introvert or whatever it might be. And if we don't consciously think, oh, I have a new thought, I have a new, better thought. I'm not an introvert. I'm a person who enjoys meeting new people and working with new people.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, but I have to consciously, I don't just do it once and then I always do it. If I kind of wander off and don't stay on my thought work path, then I'll go back to that old thought because that's the familiar one.
Oh boy. You know, this made me think of, I don't know where I heard this. You know, I'm always listening to something in the background, but I remember it was a man and he was talking about our habits and he encouraged us. He said, if you're right-handed, if you brush your teeth with your right hand, I want you to start brushing your teeth with your left hand.
It was James Clear, I think.
Was it really?
I think.
Okay. Well, so this just makes me think, like, the tendency to use our right hand, is it just a habit? Right? I mean,
yeah.
We totally could train ourselves to be left-handed if we wanted to, if we had the patience to do it. Like, it's just a tendency. Send your kid to kindergarten or when they're at home and you notice them coloring and somehow that pen just ends up in one hand or the other, or that crayon. And I don't know, that just opened a whole new train of thought to me. I'm going to use my left hand more today just to create some flexibility for myself. Yeah.
Yeah, and you will still have a tendency, you know, when you write, you'll be right-handed, but athletes do this a lot. You know, you'll see athletes who may be trained to a baseball player who will train to be to bat left-handed, you know, so that they can do either one or
Wow.
so you I think you always have the tendency, but you
Right.
can overcome that. You can work through that.
Right. I will use my right hand when I want it to be easy.
Yeah. Right.
Brain loves easy.
Yes. And that's, you know, that is where the work is, because I have had moments with new thoughts that I practice where I get frustrated because I'm thinking, well, that should be my habit now. But I have been doing things, as a matter of fact, I have been doing things for 50 years on the day that this podcast drops. And you know, it's gonna take a little bit longer to get those familiar thoughts out of my habit brain and change those into another habit. If I've been running those same thoughts, I've believed I was an introvert. I mean, not 50 years, but probably 45. So to believe that I am not, and to just have that as the habit thought, you
Right.
know,
And
that I can be whoever I want. Sorry, go ahead.
no, I was gonna say, and the reason why that thought was so comfortable because the brain is always looking for a reason, an explanation.
Yes.
Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel nervous, uncomfortable in front of people? That's not a good feeling. Oh, it's because you're an introvert.
Yeah.
That's why. That explains it. It makes it easy.
Yeah.
We like a label.
Yeah. And then you can kind of, you know, ease into it. Oh, I'm an introvert. I don't like to. I'm going to put my book up when I'm sitting next to a new person in an airplane.
It's so funny. I remember us having this conversation somewhere along the journey about us having a connection and you feeling like you were an introvert. And I'm like, what? You like totally like hit me up, like, let's do a
I
podcast.
know. I know. And you know, and that's the other story that goes along with it that I've always told myself is that the people who are supposed to be in my life, they reach out to me. And but the thing is, I'm open to that, right?
Yeah, you totally reached out to
So
me.
it's funny how we have thoughts that do not serve us, that float around in our brains all the time. And if it's just like if we can catch one here and one there, I mean, it's a lifetime work, right?
Oh, my word. I have stories to tell. I have stories to tell. Do you want me to go ahead and start?
Yeah, do it. Do it.
I'm very aware of like this lighthearted moment, and I'm getting ready to tell a story that is, the facts that I want to tell in a lighthearted way. I don't want you to think that because it has been an emotional journey. So hang with me, y'all. So my mother passed away, and that's where I've been. And, she was 82, and many of her symptoms, I feel like I'm going to give just a little backstory. So
Yeah.
she had a hiatal hernia. She'd had this hiatal hernia. We'd known about it. I'm going to go with at least 30, maybe 40 years. And so her common symptoms were nausea, vomiting, not feeling well, dizziness, because she would get so dehydrated because, she didn't want to eat because of this hiatal hernia. She had been on omeprazole for 20 plus years. If you do the Google searches on that, you will see that liver damage is a huge, huge, huge correlation. We did try to get my mom off of the omeprazole. She did have some type of dementia. She also had a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So it was not uncommon for us to take her to the emergency room. She would become so dehydrated. We'd get a couple IV bags put back in her, and she would bounce back and, you know, be back to herself feeling well. What we didn't realize during this past bit was that she was not eating. Like, the not eating was going. And it became concerning, and she was dehydrated. We take her to the emergency room. And I do remember the emergency room nurse saying, she had ascites. And I'm like, what's that? You know, so I Google it. And I just remember thinking, I asked the nurses, will she get over this? And she's like, well, some do. I'm like, okay, you know, because I got bigger problems. Here's my mom's nauseated. All this to say, she literally went from the emergency room to home for 2 days to hospice. And it was a sudden moment for my brain. Mm-hmm. My role had been to save my mom, right? My thinking, everything I did was to save my mom. And so as I was aware that she was slowly dying, that, you know, in her time, I don't even want to call it slowly, it was her journey. And I was privileged to be with her on this, witness her experience. And while I had awareness and I was accepting, I was very present with her every day. I had nothing else to think about but being with her. But after she died, the thoughts that did not serve me, I killed my mother. I missed a step along the way. And I have been doing that work mm-hmm. for a couple weeks now. And I was telling you before we started how knowing what I went through and how many, if I didn't have thought work.
Yeah.
I would be buying into that story and torturing myself for the rest of my life. I missed a step. I killed my mom. I took her. If I hadn't taken her to hospice, she'd still be alive. And you might have to rescue me here, Sonia.
Well, I mean, it points to the fact that we do have tendencies, and our tendencies are always to the negative.
Because I did something wrong.
Yes.
When in fact, I was telling you, I know I showed up with love.
Yes.
Everything I did was because I loved my mother.
Yes. But yeah. Go ahead.
I said, but my brain is still searching for answers that shouldn't have happened. You know, again, it wants to go back. It wants to reevaluate every step I took mm-hmm. because the tendency is to save, to yes. rescue, keep the mom alive.
Yeah.
You know, like that's my mama.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, and you miss her. And oh there's goodness. This grief process. And so that just, you know, if I hadn't missed a step, she'd still be here with me. And it doesn't, you know, this is the great example of we make ourselves believe these things that aren't even true. They are in the moment. They seem so true.
Oh, especially like when, when you're driving, when you're alone, mm-hmm. it just takes a moment. And before I would be down the wormhole, I would find myself in Google, Googling about, you know, end-stage liver disease. Of course, I did a lot of that while I was there too, but it just, right. that's where I missed it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, it reinforces the fact that folks, we have patterns, we have tendencies, we have.
Yes.
And you have to stop them the second you find yourself, you know, it's not something you beat yourself up for. I mean, you can't just, oh, why was I doing that again? I'm so stupid. I hate it when I do that. You can't do that. You're just like, there's my brain doing yeah. that thing again, going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And then you push forward with the new thought. That's not what we're believing anymore. Yeah. We know. I talk to myself in the plural first.
we all do.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but you know, I know that I did everything that I could. And not only that, but I gave myself and my mother the gift of being with her.
Yes. And I have a very good friend of mine. I have so many good friends that are life coaches. And the friend, shout out to Melanie Hayes. She is also a nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. And she gifted me with the knowledge that we are so geared towards the medical world is geared towards saving. Oh. Not only is my brain, because I want to save my mom. So this contrast, you know, I think she called it Western world is geared towards yes. saving the body, where, you know, they're the human experience of my mom's body was going through a very natural process.
Yeah.
And to not interfere with that natural process and it's going to be a challenge, you know, yeah. But I know that my mother had a very beautiful and peaceful as can be, right? Experience yeah. in her yeah. last days without tubes and wires and huge.
And that was a gift. That was a gift that you gave her. That was a gift that you gave yourself. You know, that's, and that's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. But the brain, again, I want to bring this back to thoughts that don't serve. And I want to show or hopefully demonstrate through telling my story to our listeners how easily it can be done, mm-hmm. how easily you can buy into a story. It's going to feel compelling, but it doesn't serve me. And it's not even the truth.
Yeah,
it's not the truth. I showed up with love. My mother had a very human experience. End of story.
Yeah.
But my brain is trying to somehow take fault and blame and fix and argue with reality.
Yeah. And so you just have to catch it. And yeah, you just have to, you know, you're going to have to keep catching it. That's the part that I lose patience with is continuing to catch it. But you keep catching it. You be consistent.
Yes. And why do you have problems catching it or being patient?
Because that's a story I'm telling myself, right? I am abundantly patient plenty of times. Actually, I do believe that. Mm-hmm. But that's a great example. That stuff, that language just creeps
yes.
in. And that's exactly how you stop it and catch it.
Y'all didn't plan that. You got to love yourself more. Does this thought serve me? Does it bring love to my life? No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to readjust. I am having
fancy
chair because I got piriformis problems, y'all.
I think that's about all that I have other than what I want to leave our listeners with.
Okay.
And that is that just like you saw Judith catch a thought with me, we want you to work this week on catching one thought. Mm-hmm. What is one thought that you have been believing that doesn't serve you? Mm-hmm. And it can be anything. It can be, I don't have patience. It can be, I'm an introvert. You know, there's a huge list. And like I said, you pick one, you work on that one. And then when you've got that one licked, you pick another one. There's plenty to go. Thought work is ongoing, but catch one this week and start working on that. Start telling a new story, a story that you choose that serves you better.
This is how it's one small change, catching one thought. If you can help pull apart one story for yourself, it can lead to greater changes in your life.
Yeah, it's like that sweater. You pull one thread, you know, in the cartoons you
Yes.
always see, they
Yes.
pull one thread and the whole sweater falls apart. But it really does. It, when you start dislodging those thoughts, you will be faster at finding them.
You sure will.
Yeah. All
Thanks for
right. So
listening, y'all.
good to have you back.
It's good to
All
be back.
right. We'll see you all next week. Until then, catch those thoughts.
Bye.